It feels so good to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith, Studio 1B, this is Tony the Bully of Penis with UFUF 118. With my partner, working man, Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis, Kiss the Ring, Fran, what's happening?
Good afternoon, nothing.
First ever
first
Friday podcast.
First day, I think our RDO or our regular days off have lined up.
Well, we had the State of the Union Address Tuesday, we had the, and the reason we didn't go Thursday, we usually do it Thursday nights now, but we had the debates last night.
Yeah.
So we moved it to Friday. We're doing this podcast on a Friday afternoon.
It's a good time. It feels like a good time. It's a good little slot.
It feels good. But there's a whole lot. I'm so excited about tonight's, this afternoon's podcast for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're doing two brand new bits.
Right.
Segments. Let's say segments.
Yeah.
Bits makes it sound so
comedic.
The first new bit we're going to do is, you know, Fran, there's a Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Very famous.
Not too far from where I was born, actually. There's a Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Mm-hmm. I always think of Joe Garofalo. What's his name? Who's going to Cooperstown?
Joe Garofalo. Garagiola?
Garagiola. Joe Garagiola.
He
used to say, who's going to Cooperstown? Right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, we have the Women's College Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Our own Pat Summit.
Summit. Tonight, we're introducing the UFUF A-Hole Hall of Fame.
Cutting the ribbon on a new...
We're cutting the ribbon. So we're going to have... three inductees into the UFUF A-Hole Hall of Fame.
Competition was stiffer than you might imagine.
Well, and, but to follow that up, we have another new bit.
Segment.
Excuse me. Because we talk about politics, we talk about world events, and it's a lot of times it seems like we're just talking about negative stuff.
Most of the time, yeah.
So we're going to do a new bit called, And Now the Good News, which we're going to talk about uplifting, inspirational...
Good things happening in the world. Yeah,
good things that are happening in the world.
Lighten it up a little bit. I like it.
Positive
vibe.
It makes me feel good. And we have a stellar top five list tonight.
This is a good one.
Tonight, and you need to stick around for this for a couple of reasons. Number one, our top five list tonight is top five movie bad guys. And don't get stuck on the bad guys. It could be guys or girls, whatever.
Right.
It's just summer. Don't piss yourself over it. Top five movie bad guys, and we have an audio montage.
Nice.
That is
nice.
It's ass kicking. The staff really pulled it together for this.
Outdid themselves this time.
They outdid themselves. And, of course, we're going to talk about the State of the Union. We're going to talk about the debates.
Yeah.
Yada, yada. Oh. So.
It's packed tonight.
It's packed. So, once again, let's exercise our Second Amendment rights.
Oh, we're
and shotgun the news.
Yeah. Okay, boys. Let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Okay, Francis, I'm going to tell you, this feels a little bit like the Carter administration.
A little bit. Minus the 300 plus days.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Iranian, Iran detains our U.S. sailors.
It's another one of those things, I think, you know, where we talk about the event itself wasn't that out of the ordinary as far as what happened after these guys got lost and, you know, put themselves in this situation. It's the way the White House dealt with it that's so bizarre. Like, they changed their story in the span of 8 hours that night before the State of the Union. They changed their story like two or three times. about what happened. And then the next morning, the Pentagon released what exactly happened, which was completely opposite of what anyone in the White House was saying.
Yeah.
Like, they just have no message.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys got lost, right? They misnavigated themselves and crossed into Iran's waters.
Yeah.
Right? That's according to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
But then they didn't really follow procedure. And they got themselves a little bit of a jam. I don't know if they were trying to get themselves back across the line or what happened. And they got picked up. You know what? It happens. We've done the same thing. But the craziness of the White House's explanations for all that, it was just nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, do they bank on the fact that less than 1% of the population was in the military and therefore won't really know what's supposed to happen? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it just, like, anytime they, the White House says, he's like, well, that's bullshit. What he's saying can't possibly be true. You know, like, they got no one in that administration who was in the military at some point.
Well, like I say, to me, it feels a lot like the Carter administration, where this administration just lost control of international affairs.
Yeah.
And they have no idea.
And think that they can control it from the podium at the White House.
Yeah.
And clearly they can't.
And then, of course, he took a lot of flack because he gave the State of the Union address while these guys were, you know, and he didn't mention it. And
I mean, he could have done a drop-in. The dude's skilled enough. What they refer to as a drop-in, where they throw a subject in the last second. But what he should have done was pulled out that thing about the nuke deal.
Yeah.
That was bad form. If he wasn't going to talk about the sailors, that's fine. And there's probably a lot of reasons why you wouldn't do that. Safety, militarily, whatever. Then he shouldn't have mentioned the other thing. Could have easily pulled that out and just skipped it. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bad.
Well, we'll talk about the State of Union address later.
But more. You know, how many times? I mean, these guys. You would think someone in that White House would be tired of getting to the microphone first, saying some stupid crap, and then the next day the facts come out and contradict everything you just got done saying.
Right?
Like, come on, dude. I mean, come on. It's not that hard. You know.
All right. Next. Okay, friends. So this guy. Tim Kennedy. He's getting threats from ISIS on social media. And he's a member of the Texas National Guard. The Texas National Guard. And for some reason, he's getting all these threats on social media from ISIS. The FBI is actually investigating this.
And he's an MMA fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's saying, like, he's tweeting out, like, come on, bring it. Bring it, boys.
I don't think they're going to try to grapple you there.
I mean,
his
quote is, let those cowards come.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it's a legitimate investigation by the FBI, which means that ISIS is threatening this guy.
An American citizen.
An American citizen in America.
The threat must be considered credible enough that the FBI is sending resources to it.
This is almost a theater of the bizarre kind of a thing. Like, what? Seriously?
Yeah. You know, how much now is you know, they say that, you know, it's a small world, right? Mickey was singing that 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Twitter has made it much smaller. You know, I mean, how long ago was it that ISIS wouldn't be able to reach out to this guy? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of...
I know, and he put out several tweets directly...
Challenging
ISIS to say, hey, I ain't a woman, I ain't a child, bring it on.
Yeah.
And then the FBI says, and if you read the article, the FBI said, hey man, back off the pedal a little bit here.
Because he's also a member of the military, and he really shouldn't be engaging in that.
Yeah, but it's bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely bizarre. All right, I just caught that in the news cycle that last week, and I thought, holy shit. Okay, let's go, next. All right, friends. So
we've talked about this, I think, a few, not this particular incident, but about the immigration in Europe, about the taking the refugees, right? And how Germany kind of was a little holier than now when this thing first started. Said, well, we're taking everyone.
We're going to take everybody.
And Angela Merkel's like, you know, we there's got to be compassion and this and that. And that's fine. I mean, it's her country. Do what she wants. and I think was it last week or the week before you talked about how things are starting to go south a little bit. Crime's on the rise.
Oh yeah,
you know, serious ugly crime is on the rise. You know, sexual harassment, rape, those types of things are. So
there's a big problem,
and there's
there.
You know, it's not a coincidence. I think is what we talked about. The fact it's not a coincidence that as they take more refugees, this type of crime is going up. So one town got fed up, and a bus bringing more refugees was not admitted to the town, and they sent the bus to Merkel's office. You take care of them if you want. If you love these people so much, you take care of them. And yeah, so one town rose up and they won because the people are staying in Berlin. So.
You know what? There's some kickback, right? When you accept people from a different culture and they're not integrating into yours, and they're harassing your women.
May not even be that intricate. You know, what I mean, it might just be one of these things. Look, we got no room.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd help if you talked to town leaders before you did this.
What
instead
are you
of we'll just take everyone.
People?
Where do we house them? It's kind of like here, where we talked about this 2 years ago or a year ago maybe now, when we let all those children come across the border. It's like, okay, we get the humanitarian side of that.
Right.
But now you've got them in a brick
prison. What happens
prison.
To those kids?
Right. They're in a slang on cinder block floors and essentially what has now become a prison. How is that better than where they were before? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
and Merkel I think is falling into the same situation, and the people are saying, no, you deal with it. This was your decision. You didn't ask us. Here they are. Let's see how you handle it.
Angela, which in America we just say Angela
Merkel,
but my niece is named Angela, and I love her. She's a sweetheart. But anyways, next. Francis, the Ebola epidemic is declared over.
The what's the world? What's the
World Health Organization?
Yeah, have declared
WHO
have declared the
thank God
Ebola epidemic over in Africa. The numbers, I guess, have got the numbers of new cases. I guess sunk below a level, and they have said the Ebola outbreak, the epidemic, is now officially over.
I feel safer. How about you?
I never really was concerned.
okay. All right. People feel safer because the Ebola epidemic is over in Africa. Next. Fran, the New York Daily News.
Have you seen
and
the
Ted
cover?
Cruz. No, I haven't.
So this kind of is a this is here because it's a nice segue to our next segment where we talk about the debates. You know, but Ted Cruz a couple weeks ago and even said, you know, well, Trump, he's got those New York values. Meaning, he's really a liberal because, you know, New York goes blue about a millisecond after New Jersey goes blue on general election night. It goes liberal in a heartbeat. And that's kind of what he meant. Well, that exchange occurred again last night in the debates, and Cruz basically was asked to explain that. He goes, well, I think you know what I mean. And then he listed off a bunch of things. Well, look, man, these are New Yorkers, dude. They don't play nice. So the New York Daily News, their front cover was a cartoon of Miss America holding their tablets with their middle finger up, say, go back to Canada, Ted. That was the headline, right? Of course, then that's in reference to the birther argument that Trump laid out last night, so which we'll get into. But, you know, if Ted had any thought that he might campaign in New York, if he becomes a nominee, probably that his campaign manager probably just scratched that off the list.
That was not a good move.
No, that wasn't smart.
And with that, let's go ahead and head into hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
All right, so Fran, let's start out with the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Got any comments about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know what people were expecting. You know, the eighth one is a freebie, you know what I mean? Because you don't have to back that up, right? He's going and
doesn't have to do anything.
His presidency is over now. It's really not officially over until November.
The only thing I have to say about it is you're complaining about divisiveness. And you're the guy that created it.
Well, no.
You're the guy that said,
that's
I got
nonsense.
A pen and a phone.
Well, what about the other guys who said, our job is to make sure he doesn't get reelected?
Yeah.
That's not your job.
That's true.
You know, he didn't create it. He took part in it.
Well.
They have equal fault.
He advanced it. No, but you're the one leader. Congress is a whole lot of people. Well, you're the one leader. And you came out and said, A, I'm going to jam Obamacare down your throat. I don't care what you think about it. Two, I got a pen and a... That's what he said. I got a pen and a phone. I don't give a shit what you do.
Right.
So it's his job to reach out, and he did not.
Well, that's
and
not
he
true.
Has created
that's
divisiveness.
That's not true because he tried
I believe
that.
It.
He well, no matter what you believe, I mean, he tried that, right? He had the big conference. He had everyone in the room. They televised it, right? Had big square conference table. Talking about, hey, you know, we need to turn a page, this and that. And McConnell, the next interview he gives, he says, no.
But that's what we see.
He can serve me whatever he wants for lunch.
But that's what
we
see.
My job is to make sure he doesn't, he's not elected again, to stop his policies and make sure he's a one-term president.
I mean, if you go back and you read about Reagan reached out to Tip O'Neill behind the scenes, right? Obama's never done that because he's an idealist. And he's like, you either agree with me or you don't.
I'm not disputing that. I'm disputing your premise that somehow this is all him.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. The divisiveness happened way before him. I'm saying he intensified it.
Oh, he did nothing to fix it. I would grant that. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that. But to say he created it, that's silly. I mean,
he didn't create it, but he didn't make it better. Yeah. He didn't try to...
Oh, I think he did try. I think he did.
I don't think he did.
I think his bigger... I think, he did. I mean, we watched him try to do it. Where he would have these, both parties together and try to talk through issues, and they would televise it. I mean, that was in the first early months of his presidency.
I mean, he came in, and look, he was going to shove Obamacare down everybody's throats.
In early spring of 2009, they were televising these conferences where they had the minority leaders who were the Republicans at the time in the Senate and the majority leaders who were the Republicans in the House. And then they had Pelosi and Reid, and they had the whole gang there. And they would
Pelosi who said...
There is the issue.
Vote on this.
Right.
What did she say? Vote on this so we can know what it is in.
We can't know. That's absolutely... if I laid this at the feet of any singular person and not spread it around equally, it would be those two. It would be Pelosi and Reid. I would lay that.
I agree, but take that one step further. That's Obama's fault.
Those were his
initiatives.
Well, but they don't work for him.
It's an equal branch.
They clearly don't have to work for him because I firmly believe Reid would go out there whenever he felt like maybe Obama was cozying up to McConnell a little too much, and then he would throw hand grenades on the whole thing. Part of that, I think, is because we talked about that he might be nuts. But I think had Republicans controlled the House and Senate when Obama was president, it'd be a lot different situation. He'd have been a lot more moderate presidency than what he got, because I think a lot of that was driven by those two morons. But having said all that, his last speech was going to be, you know, he was going to get his shots in, right? I mean, it really was more of a what's the dinner they have for the journalists every year?
The
White House, whatever thing. You know, he gets up there and they do their shtick, right? It was really more like that. I don't know if you watched it and when it was happening, but he was just throwing out one-liners, and he busted Trump in the pie hole. I think they said 20 indirect times. So I mean, he was. There wasn't anything in it. I mean, there was no...
I just look back to where, if you read the historical record, where Reagan reached out when he became the president to Tip O'Neill and brought him in, and they did legislation together. You're not going to ever read in the future about how Obama reached out to any Republican leaders. But yet, his last State of the Union address talks about divisiveness, and I think he created divisiveness. He didn't attempt to resolve it.
I don't believe that either.
He didn't attempt to resolve it in society.
But you're absolving a whole lot of people.
Absolving who?
Every time a Republican stepped to the mic, we're blocking this. I mean, how is that? Where's the work together?
Dude,
let's do.
You're
policy.
The one. You're the guy in charge. You are at the pinnacle.
The government isn't. No, the government doesn't work that way.
That's always the way it works. If you're the president, you're the titular head of the United States.
But Tip O'Neill,
you're the executive leader of the United States. And for you to come out in your State of the Union address and say divisiveness is increased.
Well, that's
in this
statement.
Time. That's on you, dude.
That's a true
statement.
On you. Has it not increased? He didn't lay blame.
I don't know that it is. I don't know. I don't know how you measure that. But
well,
if
maybe
it has,
because there's more channels to read about it and hear about
but
it.
But if it has, it's on you. It's on him.
I mean, Tip O'Neill, a Democrat, could have told Ronald Reagan to pound sand.
But he
didn't. Reagan couldn't have done anything about it. He's not the CEO. It doesn't work that way. And Trump's about to learn this lesson, too, if he becomes a nominee. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work what way?
Those guys are not beholden to the president just because he's in their party. You know, Reid and Pelosi were not... They weren't required to listen or do what he had to say.
But they did!
No, I think they did their own agenda. And I think he wanted to...
I mean, when Pelosi comes out and says we have to pass this bill so we can know what's in, what is she doing? She's just jamming it down everybody's throat.
A lot of that was her.
And that's at the behest of Obama, who wants to pound this agenda down everybody's throat.
I think a lot of that was Reid and Pelosi.
I mean, I think if you've been
in
the president for 7.5 years and you're bitching about divisiveness, it's on you. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think everyone's got a hand in it.
Well, okay, so everybody's got a hand in it. I'll give you that. But you're giving the State of the Union address. You're the dude that's talking about it.
Yeah. Well,
and it's on you if you're going to say that.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that.
In charge of this, and here's what I'm going to say. Okay, so it's on you. I don't know how you get around that, Fran.
Well, I guess because I don't think it's that big of a deal to get around. I mean, it was like...
Well, he's the one that made it the big deal because he's the one that made it the point of his State of the Union address.
Right. But, I mean, he said a lot of things, and a State of the Union address doesn't matter because he's a lame duck president.
That's what he made the main point of it.
That was the main point you felt like?
I felt like... He even said... Here's my biggest failure, is that we're more divisive now than we were when I became the president.
I don't remember that. So he took credit.
No, he actually said that.
He took the blame for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they took the blame for it.
Well, he said biggest failure.
But he said that's the biggest fail. That's his biggest regret, is that we're more divisive now than we were when we started.
Well, isn't that him taking blame for it then?
To me, it is. Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm really lost at what the issue is. If he brought it up and said, "Well, it's my failure."
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, okay. So he said that's the biggest failure, but I don't think that he took responsibility for it. I don't think that he said it's his fault. I think he said it's worse now, but it's not my fault. But that's the biggest failure of my administration. It's more divisive now than it was when I started.
Okay.
And I think you'd be better off to say, you know, take some responsibility for that, which I don't think that he did.
Okay. I don't know how else you would do that by saying it's a failure of my administration.
He didn't take responsibility for it.
I don't think he has to personally, but I mean, when you use words like the failure of my administration,
my biggest regret is that we're more divisive now than we were when I took.
I think the implication there is that he didn't do enough to fix it.
Amen. Okay. He didn't do enough to fix it.
And he's saying that, or he's not saying that. I don't. When he says it's my biggest regret, is that not him saying it's my...
No, I don't think he's taking responsibility. Okay. I think he's saying, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, so let's go to the response, because you don't agree with me on this. So, let's go to the State of the Union response from Nikki Haley.
That one point, you're making... I mean, the general consensus of the State of the Union?
I don't think he really said anything other than it's our country is divisive and I wish it wasn't. Yeah. I think I said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know what really people were expecting to hear in the final one. You know what I mean? Like, these are just throwaway. And I'm going to harp on this again. They shouldn't even be doing this. I mean, this is not... It's not supposed to be delivered this way, but anyway, I mean, these are waste. It was a wasteful hour and a half, or however long it was. I don't, you know.
Well,
I don't get it.
Okay, apparently not. But here's my comments on the response, and I like Nikki Haley. I do.
Right.
I think she could be good for the Republican Party. I think she threw darts at Trump. And then today, just today, our favorite sexually ambiguous candidate from South Carolina.
From her state, right.
Came out in favor of Trump. So here's the deal.
Oh, I thought he was... I thought he...
Lindsey... Oh, no, no, no.
He endorsed Jeb.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He endorsed Jeb. I misspoke, but because it's part of my point.
Okay.
To say that Nikki Haley... I think the lexicon is she threw shade at Trump.
Yes, that's the current.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Lindsey Graham comes out in support of Jeb.
Jeb. I just did it.
So let's be clear. Iowa doesn't matter. Because the last two winners of Iowa were Huckabee.
And Hillary.
And Santorum.
Oh, right. And then Hillary on the Democrats.
And then they don't win. So... it doesn't really matter who wins Iowa.
In the top three, it doesn't matter. It calls the bottom group. Right. But in the top, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Right.
It doesn't really matter who wins Connecticut. I'm sorry, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Only if that person is the same person who won Iowa.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, if you're still in it setting South Carolina,
up,
yeah.
They're setting up to cut Trump's throat in South Carolina.
If you are still in it in South Carolina, you're
because Nikki Haley threw shade. Lindsey Graham came out in support of Jeb.
But is that this is going to be does that do though?
It's just going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean,
because they do not want Jeb.
I mean,
or they do not want Trump.
So
I'm sorry.
If you saw Jeb standing there at the podium and what's his nuts is standing there, there was like 10 people in the background, all of them 100 years or older, and somebody said, "Well, look, Graham brought all of his voters."
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so really, what? What does his endorsement do for Jeb? If I were Jeb, I would have accepted it. Because that's just bad looking.
I think he did. But I only think it's because if you're talking about Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham, they have to have a lot of ground game in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Nationally, whatever, you know, it is whatever it is. But if they cut Trump's throat in South Carolina, that could matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who wins Iowa. It just doesn't. Iowa is a lot of evangelicals. Mm-hmm. And like I say, last two, Iowa caucuses, I think it was Huckabee and Santorum.
Right.
And, you know, they faded fast. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And then we go to New Hampshire. That matters a little bit more. But if they cut his nuts in South Carolina, which I think...
Well,
this is what I'm saying.
They're going to try.
So. I think that they're setting him up to do.
Oh, sure.
Nikki Haley, when she said, okay, she said...
this is about the angry voices or something?
The angry voices. And then I watched her on CNN the next morning when they said, was that comment... they asked her directly, was that comment for Donald Trump? And she said, well, it was for him and others, which means it was for him.
Right.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who else that would have...
No, it was for him.
Right.
She was just talking to him. And
but
she was softening the comment.
And, of course, the irony of all that is the angry voices got on the radio the next day and ripped her nonstop.
Well, you know, all the conservatives started calling her a rhino.
Hannity, they just were tearing into her like Drudge Report was just beating her over the head.
Nikki Haley's a rhino, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Let me tell you something, Republicans. You're tearing yourselves down.
It's like they can't – not one person seems to be able to step outside of that mess and say – look, if we react like this every time someone says something that we don't agree with or like, we're going to be the cat lady. We're going to be the person who yells, "Get off my damn lawn!"
They are already that. They are already they're that, Francis.
Well, but this one could cost them. It could cost them. I mean, this because.
I mean, I saw 100 comments on social media the day after Nikki Haley did that, and let me be clear. I don't think she should have did that. I think that was wrong.
Yeah.
When you're doing the Republican response to the State of the Union address and you throw shade on a Republican frontrunner, shame on you.
Well, yeah, but again, this kind of goes back to the establishment part of the Republican wing does not want him.
They do not want him.
That is a divisive.
But you know what?
Man,
then they should have dealt with that in the beginning.
Well, I think they tried. Like McKay Coppins, who writes for BuzzFeed, wrote a good article that said. He wrote a story about the cavalry that never came. And it was supposed to be the establishment and their money coming to break Trump down in the first few months after he announced, so that he couldn't build momentum. But no one showed up to do that. And so here we are, because I think, like we both thought, well, he's not going to really be around that long.
Yeah,
by
yeah,
Christmas,
right.
He'll be going. You know,
we always said that.
Right. And then here we are. You know, he'll probably lose to Cruz by a point or two in Iowa. He'll win New Hampshire going away. And then if he takes South Carolina,
well, we
I
need
don't
to talk about
stop him.
We're gonna have to have a conversation about the about the nomination process, because okay, here's the deal. Hillary is going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party unless she gets indicted.
Well,
yeah. Bernie Sanders is not going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party.
Right. So here's the story I read today. He's drawn even in Iowa.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but Hillary won Iowa in 2008.
Yes.
And then the next time she looked up, she was in Texas and way behind. And they're fearing that this might be a repeat of that event. Now, your boy was pretty snarky on his little debate performance last night. It's, look, I love Bernie. He ain't going to be president of the United States.
He's not.
But he might be the nominee for the Democratic Party. That is less of a far-fetched idea now than it was 4 months ago.
Okay. Here's my the Democratic whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Bernie Sanders is not going to be a nominee.
No, he'll be assassinated, right? They cannot let him be.
They have the super delegates and all that shit.
Some accident will befall him.
By the time they get to the convention, he is not going to be the nominee.
Put it this way. If it's not decided by the convention, they're in trouble. Because
I will put my car title on that.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders is not going to be the nominee.
Excluding an indictment, you're saying.
I'm saying Bernie Sanders is not going to be
enough. Oh, even if she gets indicted?
It doesn't matter.
Well, who would be it then if she gets indicted?
Shit, I don't know.
Because it can't be her at that point. It doesn't matter what the voters want then. If she gets indicted, she can't run for
president. Look, here's part of the deal. It ain't about who the people want to be president. It's about who the party wants.
But my point being, it doesn't matter what they want. If she gets indicted, she is now officially out.
Yes.
So they're going to have to put someone in there.
They'll have to put someone in there.
And it won't be the next guy up, which would
be it'll be Martin O'Malley or Joe Biden.
Is that why O'Malley's staying around, you think? You think he has inside baseball on
because
indictment?
Because they're not going to put Bernie Sanders. Look, the party is going to protect itself. That's why they created super delegates.
Yeah, they better.
That's why they created super delegates.
Yeah.
Because super delegates were created to say, we're going to protect the party. And so you're going to vote for whoever the Democrat, and this is Republicans too.
Right, they all have, both of them.
For whoever we decide is going to be our representative. That's the problem. Right. And Trump knows this. He's smart enough to know this.
Right. I think what people don't understand is when you go to vote in a primary election, if your state holds an election instead of a caucus, you're not voting for the nominee. You're voting for the representatives who will go vote for the nominee at the convention. And that's where the superdelegates come in. So each party has X amount of delegates. It's 1,139 you need to take the nomination. So then you have these superdelegates who are not bound by any state vote, who can then at the convention vote for whoever they want. So and that's how they tip the scale.
So that's my position.
That's what you're going with? Okay.
Is that Bernie Sanders is not going to be the Democratic nominee. And the Republicans don't want Trump, but they don't know how to stop him right now. And part of their process is that they're going to hammer him in South Carolina. Yeah.
Well, clearly that was right.
That
was a little bit of a 1-2 punch.
Yes, it was.
Graham, he ain't packing much in his gloves. But
he doesn't. But he might carry truck in South Carolina.
Maybe.
Right? He's been a senator there for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Ambiguous senator from South Carolina. I just like to say it. And Nikki Haley, I dig her.
Yeah,
I do.
She's a very popular.
Love her.
Yeah, very popular.
But
governor.
When I saw her State of the Union response, I was like, "Shit, are you serious? You're calling out the Republican?"
Well, I don't think she did. I think she was handed that to go read this.
But she did it.
Yeah,
though.
She did it. Well,
you know,
that's kind of how it works.
Look,
that Republican response has not been good to the person who's done it in any year. Other than when the dude from Ohio did it.
No, you're right. You're crazy.
You know what I mean? It killed Jindal. Made him look like a pedophile.
Yeah.
Rubio with the bottle.
Rubio with the bottle.
You know, I mean, it's we had no Tea Party response this year. We had no separate Tea Party response this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't know how to stop him. They can't stop him. I think if one of the other candidates can't stop him by winning these primaries, he'll be the nominee for the party. And look, if he comes out of South Carolina, he's ahead. You might as well
start
printing up buttons.
And I already said, if he's the nominee, I was going to be the president. So, because Hill Dog, look, 13 Hours is coming out this week, and I'm going to go see it, and I think that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's going to hurt her. I agree with that.
It's going to hurt Hillary. Because, shit, she has no idea what she's doing.
Yeah.
All right, Francis, well, we've argued enough, I think, but I appreciate your point of view, even though
you think you're wrong. Don't lie.
No, I don't appreciate your point of view.
You don't believe in other people's point of view. That's that liberal
education.
Because
I'm always right.
Yes, you are.
I would love it.
So let's talk debate now. We're talking, that was the response to the State of the Union.
Oh, the debates? I had nothing. I got nothing for the debate.
All?
Yeah.
I fell asleep mid-stroke. I was actually live tweeting for our podcast.
I was reading it. Yeah.
And I was good. And all of a sudden, I woke up and it was over. I'm like, what the hell happened? But I'm a working man.
The only thing that happened to the debates is I think Cruz stepped on his
is Willie there?
Is Johnny on the New York thing?
Well, and then the Bertha thing, I think he messed up.
Well, before we get to the Bertha thing, I think he stepped on his Johnny on the New York thing
because
Trump made a heartfelt comment and said, hey, man.
That was a great response by him.
After 9/11.
We rebuilt Manhattan, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he. And then Cruz had no response for that.
No, I mean, he didn't. Was like, how can you have a response for that? You can't.
If they were all wearing, you know, little things in their ear with their producers backstage or their campaign manager, he was probably yelling, don't talk, just shut up. He is pummeling you right now. Just shut up. But, you know, and then Jeb,
I love Jeb, but he's not going to,
I mean, and the minute he kind of went after Trump a little bit, and you could see him, right? He starts swelling up. His shoulders get more square. Like, he's ready to throw down. And the next five tweets on Twitter are like, well, now Jeb's going to grandstand for about 5 seconds, and Trump's going to beat him down in 5, 4, 3. And then on cue, Trump comes out and just blows him up, right? I mean, it's not even fun anymore.
The problem is Trump, Jeb, he's probably the most qualified candidate
who's
to be the president.
He's not
going to get elected. No.
He's not going to be within stone's throw of the nomination.
And look, call me a rhino if you want to, but damn.
Yeah.
Jeb, if you look at what he did in Florida, he was a great governor. He was a great conservative governor.
Here's how good he is. They freaking hate the Republican they got now. That's how good Jeb was.
Yeah, and if you call me a rhino to my face, I will punch you in the nose. Because I'm so fucking sick of that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Talk about divisive. That's what's killing
them. Jesus. It's killing the Republicans. Yeah. This bullshit. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're listening to this podcast and you call somebody a rhino, you're no different than a liberal.
Yeah. Punch yourself in the face.
Punch yourself in the face. You're a liberal, dumbass. Jesus.
So,
but okay.
And then
I got
boy,
off track.
Then
I'm
our
sorry.
Boy, the doc man, Carson. God, he's brutal to listen to now.
Where he's gone?
Oh, yeah, he's like fifth or sixth. I mean, he's
gone.
Right ahead. I'm surprised he was on the stage. His numbers aren't that much better than Fiorina's at this point.
They should have put Carly rather than Ben on the stage.
What was his first statement?
I don't even know.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you were coming to me.
Yes.
I didn't think you knew I was here.
As soon as he said that, I said, Ben, you cannot do that.
Yeah, and I lambasted him a little bit.
Quit crying.
Like, quit your crying and just answer the question. God. I mean, who do you think you're impressing with that? Like, he pressed that button once in the second debate and it scored some points, and now he's pounding that button. And it's like,
well,
there's nothing there, Ben.
I'm glad you asked me a question at this point. Yeah. Like, Ben, don't whine.
Don't be a bitch. Don't be a whiny little bitch. You're trying to be president of the United States. You're going to have to puck slap people. And they're going to think.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like that. It's like that scene from Braveheart where Longshanks is trying to decide who he's going to send to do this fake diplomacy with Mel Gibson's character, William Wallace. And he's thinking about sending his son, the next king of England, but he knows he's gay. So he's like, well, I can't send him. I mean, the sight of him will only encourage our enemies to attack. That's the feeling I get with Ben Carson.
Yeah.
When he starts whining like a little bitch. Like, dude, the sound of your voice would only encourage people to run us over and try us at every turn. You are not going to be a strong presence in that White House.
Your first comment can't be about that you haven't had a chance to make a comment.
Right. So, okay. So he's out. He won't be at the next one. Casey's had a good showing. It's going to go in the column of too little too late, I think.
Who?
Your boy from Ohio, Casey's.
I thought
he did well. It's just a little too late. He came on too late. He's going to be nipped at the tape,
I think it's the same thing with Christie.
Yeah, I agree. And
look, I think all these guys...
There are a lot of qualified people on that stage.
...are qualified to be the president.
Yeah.
Well, I will exclude
I'm not
Carson.
Saying everyone. I'm saying there are a lot. I'm not saying all of them.
I will say Kasich, Christie...
Rubio. We're both as
Bush.
We were getting ready to say Trump and held back. I could see the look in your face. Yeah,
he's going to be the president, dude. I think he's going to be the president.
The vote hasn't been cast yet.
You came out in the last podcast for Rubio.
Yep.
I'm a Rubio supporter. I'm a Jeb supporter. Who I want to be the president is Jeb Bush.
And he's done. He's done.
He's done.
Yeah.
I would totally support Rubio. I really would. I do not want to see Cruz. I do not want to see Trump, although I think Trump may be a guy that gets a few things done.
If I had to pick between those two, I would take Trump every day of the week.
I would take Trump.
Because
I remember when Obama was getting ready to be elected, and I was scared to death because I said, this guy's going to be the death of our country. And a lot of people are saying the same things about Trump.
It's not going to be true about anybody. Right, because the country's not that weak.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just not, the system is set up so that can't be the case.
That's right.
But with Trump at least, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, you're going to have a guy in that White House, foreign leaders are going to think twice. They're going to be like, that crazy bastard will nuke us.
Yes.
He'll put an MX missile right up our ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he won't think twice about it. Whereas, you know, you look at Ben Carson or Ted Cruz, when they get that 2 a.m. call to steal Hillary's campaign phrase from 08, you give it the feeling that they might not get out of bed because they'd be afraid.
I think with Trump, he's going to build a wall.
He's going to build a wall, and I think you're going to see the SDI program back, Star Wars Initiative. I think you're going to see him barricade the United States and say, come at me.
He's going to build a wall. He's going to tell China, hey... It ain't going to work this way anymore.
And this is what's so hurtful. Like, the minute you bring up particular things, you start saying, you know what? He could deal with them on this, the devaluation of the yuan. You know, which is their currency. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he can speak that language. He doesn't need an advisor for that. You know what I mean? Because he's got a truck full of lawyers already, and he knows the business end. And what China is doing is a business decision, not a government one.
But the problem with Trump is that he doesn't know how to work in the government, which Obama doesn't know how to work in the government either.
But Obama knows that the president doesn't have free reign. Like, he just can't make things happen, or else we would have things a lot earlier. He's like, he's not going to be the CEO. You know what I mean?
Well,
he's got
to
answer to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't disagree with you, Francis, but
he would have, I think, a more of a... If he brings like more of a corporate boardroom feel to it,
yeah,
you could see him negotiating.
Well, you could,
you know what I mean?
Like,
but here's the problem with that: Republicans aren't going to want that because we know that Republicans hate compromise.
Well,
they hate it like Dracula hates holy water.
But they don't know that right now. They're all crazy for Trump. But
I'm talking like McConnell.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Yeah, but that's the problem with Obama, right? Is Obama has a vision, he's an idealist, and he's not going to compromise. The difference between that and Trump is Trump's a businessman. He understands that in order to get things done, you have to compromise.
Right. But his party doesn't understand that.
His party doesn't
understand.
They're
looking for the purist.
But that may not matter.
Well,
because until he gets elected...
Right. They're not right. But at some point...
They're just all crazy right now, like they were crazy for Obama before he got elected.
And maybe that's what the establishment is trying to set him up for this hit in South Carolina, because they think...
They do not want him to be the nominee.
He's just going to go in there, and plus, he was a liberal at one point. He's switched parties. And he had big Clinton supporters and the whole bit.
Well, once again, I offered my 4 points last podcast of how he's...
He's going to be the president if he gets nominated.
Yeah.
I think that if he gets the nomination, he's going to be the president. I believe that. But the Republicans are going to fight that until he gets the nomination.
Well, that's the other problem.
And
he's going to have the sympathy vote because he's going to fight on two fronts. He's going to fight his own party plus the Democrats.
And, you know, we're going to need to talk about this, about the delegate process and the superdelegates and all that. And that goes back to in the beginning when he said, if I'm going to be the nominee, you need to make me the nominee. Because he knows he can get screwed.
Right, right. And what he's referring to are the states that caucus instead of vote.
Yes.
Because the caucuses are like old-time religion. Like, they get... That's squirrely. That's where you just get in a group.
And so if it's close, when they go to the...
Yeah.
You know, when
caucus results can be tipped, unlike election results.
If it's close when they go to the... what you call it? He can get screwed out of the nomination.
Yeah.
And they aim to do that to him, I believe.
Texas is normally... Texas falls slightly after the midpoint of the primaries. If you've got the lead by Texas, you'll be the nominee by the convention in August.
Yes.
And that's what happened to Hillary. She was going into Texas expecting to win Texas and therefore take a neck-and-neck race to the convention where she felt she would win in a floor fight. The problem was Obama won Ohio before that and then won... didn't win Texas, but took so many that she didn't get enough. And then he had the nomination by Texas. So if Trump can do that, it doesn't matter what happens at the convention. He'll have too many for them to flip it over.
Well, and there's a thing called superdelegates.
Right, but there won't. But again, if he's carrying 1139 by Texas, they can't stop it.
They can't stop it. But
that's why they got to hit him in South Carolina.
That's why Bernie Sanders will not be the nominee. Because of the superdelegates. They will never...
I agree with that premise. What my follow-on question then, if not him, then who?
I have no idea.
So you got to answer that question, right?
I mean, yeah,
You just can't say we're not taking Bernie because Joe says he ain't not doing it. He looked pretty comfortable sitting next to Rubio the other day.
Yeah.
That looks like a guy who's made his mind up. You know what I mean? He looked more relaxed. He's like, I'm out. You know, in 6 months I'm out.
Good fun.
Let's get to the perfect thing before we move on.
Crazy
because
shit.
The irony of that is just like, I mean, it's just dripping wet.
I mean, you love it.
Like, because it's come now. I thought it had come full circle before. It's now come completely full circle because Trump really was a guy who was really pulling on that string of the birtherism on Obama.
Oh yeah.
Sent his investigators to Hawaii. No one's ever seen or heard of them since. They're laying on the beach of Maui, I'm sure. And so now he brings it up about Cruz. Well, your mother is a Canadian. You were born in Canada. You had Canadian citizenship. Your mother voted in Canadian elections.
Yes.
So what does Cruz do? Well, your mother's from Scotland. She's not an American. And Trump's like, well, I was born in the United States and you weren't. And Trump still propagated that myth about McCain. Well, he's born in a military hospital. That's American territory.
With Trump, it don't matter. He's making that point work for him.
Right, right. Well, so right? Cruz brings in. This is going back to where he said, Cruz steps on his pee-pee, right? This is where it started. This is where the tripping downhill started with the birther fight, because that actually occurred before the New York Values fight. So he brings Trump's mother into it. Don't talk about mamas. You don't talk about mamas.
Well, I think...
so Trump's mother's not an American. I don't think people knew that. His mother's not an American.
Is in the debate, they said, so Trump, you didn't make an issue of this until Cruz was challenging it. And Trump said, yeah, that's right.
Because that's how business works.
That's how it works.
You don't fight competition that's not fighting you.
Yes! And he just was out with it.
Right. And I think that's what's so hard for the pundits who work on this. They work on the minutiae of this as if it's their lifeblood.
Oh, shit.
Can't understand because here's a guy just cutting a common sense swath through all this with what he does best, which is the art of the deal.
Right.
When competition rises up, you find an angle and you cut them to the ground.
And that's exactly what he said.
Cruz is a citizen of the United States. There is no debating that fact. But when Trump stands up there and says, John McCain says Cruz might not be a citizen... I have a whole pack, this nebulous phrase, I have a whole pack of lawyers who think the same thing, yet he can't name one of them.
Well, he said, I just think you need a judge to...
Oh, right, he needs to go to court and get it taken care of.
All you need... Listen, Ted, if I get the nomination and I appoint you as my vice president, I'm not going to do it unless you get an adjudication
right.
that you're a citizen.
So what he's done there is put the question in everyone's mind is that Cruz is in a court case and decided citizenship. Right?
He's a television star. That's all.
And he crazy. Can make deal, right?
It's crazy.
Francis,
he's going to be the president.
South Carolina is their last chance. Because guess what's after South Carolina?
That's right.
God's waiting room.
That's Florida. Right.
Right? So Florida's next. Who do you think's winning Florida in a Republican primary?
And for all you people that think Hillary's going to clean up the floor with Trump, I think you're wrong.
I think if she's in it in the debates, he's going to have a problem handling her in the debates.
I do not.
I think
he doesn't debate.
Well, okay, that's a good point. That's a fair point. He really doesn't. He doesn't follow the Martin and Queensbury.
You know, I heard a comment this morning about Jeb, where they said the problem with Jeb is when Jeb is asked a question, Jeb answers it,
right,
with details.
God help him.
Right. Not from an emotional point, right? So when they say Jeb, what are you going to do about immigration? What are you going to do? Jeb answers the question. And that hurts him because what Trump does is Trump says, I'm going to make things better.
Right. Here's the problem. I'm going to fix it.
Follow me.
Right.
Right. Right. And Jeb goes, I'm going to do Regulation 413 and I'm going to. And he knows that shit. Yeah. He does know that shit.
But you got to be able to sell it.
He's not selling it.
He can't sell it.
Jeb is going to. Trump is going to be our next president. Frightening.
I think there are some nuances in the general debate. General election debate that are going to be a problem for him. Number one, again, he's not going to have all these foils to work off of. He's not going to have Ted Cruz. He's not going to be able to bitch slap Kasich or anyone else and deflect things from him.
Right.
He's going to have to deal with her directly. She's not dumb. She may be a murderer, but she's not stupid. Well, you know what I mean? So yeah. She's going to stand toe to toe with him, and she's going to have Jeb facts, right? We know she's not gregarious. She's not a speaker. We know all that.
She's hideous.
But she's going to have to. He's going to have to deal with things that she's going to throw out at him. And here's the issue he has that she doesn't. She's a woman.
Well,
and there's going to be a double standard applied, unfairly. But if he is as rude and nasty to her, although it really wasn't a problem when he hit Megan Fox, but Kelly.
I think she's carrying so much baggage.
Well, again, that's based on the thought that she will even be there.
Well, yeah.
Because now there are people who are claiming now that the FBI is not done.
I mean, I skipped because we're going to go long. I skipped doing a Hillary email segment tonight because, number one, I've never found a yoga routine in Hillary's email. But number two, she's got the thing now where she told the assistant to remove all the incentive to her. She's got problems, man.
So there's
she's got problems. So when it comes to general election,
yeah,
she's so vulnerable,
right?
And
right.
I mean, she's not appealing.
No.
Her husband, like Bill Clinton,
right?
I
heat him out the floor at all.
It's easy to say, do you want to have a beer with Bill Clinton? Yeah. No matter who you are, I'd love to have a beer with Bill Clinton. Yeah.
All right? The stories that guy's got. Oh,
yeah. Do you want to have a beer with Hillary? Yeah. No. No, I do not.
I really don't even want to meet her.
No.
There's really no like to say, oh, I met
so,
Hillary Clinton. Like,
and you can call it a cult of personality, but it's there.
Well, that's, but I and think you outlined that. Like, yeah, that's the presidency race.
Yeah.
Right? That's absolutely what it is. And certain guys have found the combination of that, Obama being one and now Trump. And
all right, Francis, we beat this to death. Let's go to our new bit, the A-Hole Hall of Fame. All right, Francis, listen. There's a Football Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York.
Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
Toronto. There's a Women's Basketball Hall of Fame right here in Knoxville,
right,
Tennessee.
Knoxville.
Got a big basketball out there.
Where's the NBA Hall of Fame? Is that New York?
I don't know. But tonight, we're revealing the UFUF A-Hole Hall of Fame.
And that doesn't require overhead because there's no structure. It's just
there's
no internet. It's an internet hall of fame.
But we have inductees.
We do.
So our first inductee, obviously, Kim Jong.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Our buddy.
If he wasn't our honorary, or our what do you call it, our inaugural inductee, there would have been hell to pay for that. The guy's got nukes now.
No question.
He's got nukes and an ever-dwindling family who seem to be befalling of certain accidents every time they're not...
And this is... We're documenting this.
Yeah, yeah.
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 This is the A-hole Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no reason we can't have this.
Oh, and Kim Jong, he's a first ballot, right? He's a first ballot.
He's
unanimous.
First ballot. He's in. First ballot, yeah.
He gets the call.
If you know sports, first ballot means something.
Yeah.
Right? So our second inductee, Kanye West, which really is a lot lower than Kim Jong.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big chasm between the two.
That's a chasm.
Yeah.
But he's an a-hole.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. He's been working at his a long time, though.
But our third entry, and this is really what created the A-hole Hall of Fame.
He's a latecomer here.
He's a latecomer.
Strong finish to his season.
Sean Penn. What? What?
So, not only does he go down and sit with the greatest drug lord, well, I don't know if the word greatest is right, but the greatest, most notorious drug lord in the history of the world, that particular interview he does is actually what gets El Chapo caught, right?
Well, he's denying that now.
Yeah, sure, because he's got to save his neck.
Because he's denying that now because he thinks that'll get him killed.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the biggest dickhead ever.
Yeah.
Look, he visited Saddam Hussein before we invaded Iraq.
And the guy in, didn't he go down to Central America? Who was the Venezuela? Didn't he meet with the dictator there?
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
I can't either, but yeah. I mean, Sean Penn... You're our third inductee into the UFUF A-hole Hall of Fame because you are an a-hole.
He's like a bad penny. You never realize he's that? You think of the three guys he went and visited.
Yeah.
They all met their demise. Maybe he's a CIA agent. Think about that for a second. The three guys he went and visited is not Chavez. Who's the guy down south?
Yeah, no, Chavez.
Okay.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Saddam Hussein. And now...
El Guapo.
El Guapo, back in prison. After one of the greatest escapes in the history of prison escapes.
And then back I saw the interview with him just today where they said, so did your interview with El Guapo lead the... No. No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
He's got to squash that, yeah. Well, it's not going to matter what he says. My man's got his mind made up. That greasy pen put me back in the joint.
Holy shit.
He's a dead man. And that's serious. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not sure people realize he's become somewhat famous and celebrated slightly for his escape from that prison on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That on a mile long tunnel he built.
Yeah. El Guapo.
El Chapo.
I'm actually quoting the Three Amigos
movie. Yes, you
movie.
Are. Yeah. Sean Penn is a dead man. That's a serious thing. Look, this guy is not. The comedic figure we make him out to be.
That's why he gets into the A-hole Hall of Fame. Because why? The biggest drug lord... Look, this guy's murdered thousands of people. Well, he's accused of murdering thousands of people.
Women, and children. This
and you're going to go down there and on an interview?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And that interview, the FBI saying the interview led us to his whereabouts? And
good luck, Sean.
Yeah, as my father would say when we watched the Lakers play basketball in the 80s, take a good look at the ball if you pass it, because it's the last time you're going to see it. Take a good look at Sean Penn. Even the last time you're going to see him, I think. He's just going to mysteriously go out on a boat and disappear.
So our initial entries in the UFUFA Hall of Fame, Kim Jong-un, Kanye, which is kind of my...
This little personal thing of yours?
Yeah, because he's just an a-hole. Kim Jong-un. Kanye, Sean Penn.
Strong first class, man. It's strong.
It's just a strong class. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
First ballot. All right. Fran, let's go to our next newest bit.
Yeah.
And the good news is...
Newest segment.
Here we go. Fran, so this is our new bit, and the good news is, Francis, what do you got?
Well, there was that, of course there was I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. I'm thinking.
This is our new bit, and the good news is.
What do you got? I got nothing. You got anything?
Yeah, I got nothing, Francis. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Maybe we'll do this again.
There is no good news.
Maybe we'll do this again. Let's go to our top five list.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Francis, so this is our top five movie bad guys. Doesn't necessarily have to be a guy.
This is a good one.
This is fun. This is going to be fun. What? I got some honorable mentions, Franz. What's your honorable mention?
Well, my honorable mention, my first one, is Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, that's a good
one.
From
the Judy Garland
version.
The only reason I really put her in there is because it's the first one I can remember as a kid. I was four, when we saw Wizard of Oz in color for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, she was just
like
green, like fluorescent green.
Yeah.
And when you read the backstory on her, at the end of that, where the scarecrow gets on fire, the flying monkeys lights him on fire, Judy Garland throws water, it hits the witch, and she's supposed to disappear in this puff of smoke. And of course, special effects being what they were in 1972, the actress literally caught on fire and she was burned over like 50% of her body. And she survived that. That's a badass, my friend.
Yes.
And she had a bicycle that flew. So she's my honorable mention.
What's your other honorable mention?
I think we're going to be the same on this. It's a laser. Dr. Evil is my from the Mike Myers.
Okay, I have two honorable mentions. One, Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
It's his name.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Evil. And two, Alex Forrest from Fatal Attraction. I mean, she killed a bunny.
Yeah.
Okay? That's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are our honorable mentions. Fran, what's your number five?
My number five is a little obscure. Bill the Butcher from the movie Gangs of New York. I don't know if you saw that.
That's a good one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now your movie...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Your movie repertoire is a lot bigger than mine. But Daniel Day-Lewis, Bill the Butcher, he's a great historical figure, was just dastardly in that movie.
That's great. My number five, Hans Gruber.
Nice. Little shout-out
from
there.
Die Hard. Yeah,
yeah,
because he passed away this week.
That one cut me. That cut me as bad as the singer.
David Bowie.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, we lost David Bowie. We lost Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, forever be remembered for that. Yeah, yes. For that movie role. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was also like Snape.
Well, see, the younger people know him as Snape from Harry Potter.
See, I never watched Harry Potter.
I didn't either. So I know him from Die Hard and one of my favorite movies, Dogma.
Yeah,
he's great in that movie too. So yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number five is Hans Gruber. Fran? What's your number four?
Joan Crawford, Mommy Dearest.
Ooh.
No, Wire Hangers. That's become iconic, right? People,
Wire Hangers will crease your shirts. That's for sure. Okay, so my number four, and I really struggle with this, but my number four is the Joker.
Which Joker?
I researched this from the recent one. It's not the...
Heath Ledger?
Heath Joker? Ledger, yeah.
That's a scary paint job.
I mean, I read some things that said Jack Nicholson was a badder Joker, but Heath Ledger, for my money, wow. He's a bad guy.
And he was less cartoonish than Nicholson was.
Yes. Yes. So that's my number four. Fran, your number three.
Well, of course I gotta bring my bloodlines into it. Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's classic.
Yeah. Joe Pesci. Yeah.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Goodfellas. He just stabs people in the throat.
With a pen. With a pen. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. All right. My number three, Anton Chigurh. Which is from No Country for Old Men. Which, friend, have you seen that?
As I said, no. Your movie repertoire is a lot higher than mine. I don't.
No Country for Old Men. If you've not seen that movie and you've not, this guy got a nomination, Oscar nomination for this. Which I hate Oscar. I hate the award shows. But yeah, this dude is seriously, he's a serious badass. So Anton, and I don't even know how to say his last name. I think it's Chigurh. So that's my number three. Fran, your number two?
Biff Tannen.
Biff Tannen.
from Back to the Future.
McFly!
McFly, he's in all three. He was in all three movies.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you know. He was the, he's
hello,
the stereotypical
McFly
guy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, my number two, Hannibal Lecter.
So I didn't see that movie either. So I didn't want to put movies Francis, I didn't see.
Have you never seen that?
No.
Francis, you've not seen E.T.
either.
Movie.
So
yeah. You have to see Silence of the Lambs. Jesus.
Add 10 more hours in a day, bro, and I'll get it. I'll watch it.
Fucking that. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to use the F word. Alert. Okay, so Fran, you're number one bad guy. And I think we're the same on
this. We are the same on this. So I don't want to steal your thunder on this, but Darth Vader, no
it's
explanation
my number
necessary.
One Darth Vader's the best.
Greatest villain in the history of villains.
Luke. Yeah. So that's our top five bad guys. I think those are pretty good lists.
Yeah.
And I have a montage that's I'm going to treat you with at this time of our top five bad guys.
Evil, actually. Dr. Evil.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dad.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
Right.
Funny how? What?
You're funny.
You mean?
So?
Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Counselor, I'm out. Come out wherever you are.
Trash piece of shit, I'm better than you all. I can outlearn you. I can outread you. I can outthink you. And I can outphilosophize you. And I'm gonna outlast you. You think a couple of whacks to my good old boy gut's gonna get me down? It's gonna take a hell of a lot more than that, counselor, to prove you're better than me.
I am like God, and God like me. I am as large as God. He is as small as I. He cannot above me, nor I beneath him be.
Salesius, 17th century.
Do you want to know why I use a knife? Guns are too quick. You can't savor all the little emotions. You see, in their last moments, people show you who they really are. So, in a way, I knew your friends better than you ever did. Would you like to know which of them were cowards?
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Okay, Fran, one of my honorable mentions was Max Cady from Cape Fear, and I didn't mention that when we were talking about it, but that was one of the...
Okay, yeah, I didn't recognize the one.
That was one of the clips that was in that montage. If you've never seen Cape Fear with Robert De Niro, you need to see that, because shit. I mean, you heard the clip. It's startling.
Yeah.
It's startling. Yeah. Counselor! Counselor! But yeah, he was one of my honorable mentions on the bad guy list, which I neglected. But I hope you enjoyed that montage. Anyways, Francis... Signs of the Apocalypse, what do you got?
Do you know what the Google Nest is?
Not really.
It is a thermometer. It is a thermostat that you can install in your house. It's hooked to the internet. You can control it with your phone. And it learns. Right? So, here's a very crude example of that. So, let's say you get up in the... You go to bed at night and you dial it down to 67 in the winter. You do that 3 or 4 times. You get up in the morning, you crank it to 70 on your way out to work.
So it learns that you do that.
And so it starts to preset these things without you ever telling it to do it.
Much like Alexa.
Right, right. So this is the next step. This is the next step here, right? So
the next step to our death.
Right. The machine take over the world. So we're one step closer to the Skynet. So the phone, you can control the app, control the thing with the app on your phone. But the company that runs this for Google pushes out software updates in the middle of the night, much like with your
right.
cable box.
Anything, yeah.
Right. So they pushed out software update, and for some reason, all the Nest devices in a particular area of the country, in the Northeast, decided that meant to shut down. So in the middle of the night, once the update was done, the Nest turned off the heat in all these homes. They didn't lower it. They turned it off.
That's what's happening, people.
They're going to freeze you. All right? That's how they're going to do it. That's what we do to bees, right? We smoke them and make them docile so they don't... You start freezing people, and all of a sudden, they lose their will to fight. Machines take over. We are actually... Now, who are the two guys who said... You know, AI is going to be the doom of the human race?
Two of the smartest guys on the planet
On the planet, right. Yeah. Right. Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And Hawking, right?
Yeah. Stephen Hawking.
And Elon something.
Yes.
So.
Elon.
And here's the thing. We're complicit in our own demise. We're installing these things in the house. These things now have their tentacles into your electrical system of your house and into the wireless network you've set up. To make your life simpler, they're using that now to control the temperature in your house, which will may or may not kill you in the middle of the night in the wintertime.
No, Francis. I have that here in my own home.
What?
I have Alexa.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
She's connected into all my shiznit. Right.
So you've got all these. So now we're putting these devices in. We've got these thermostats. We've got alarm systems. We got cameras now. We're putting... You see this app now where you can put... Take your old iPhones, charge them, and just mount them anywhere. And this app you put on your current phone, these become security cameras. So we're putting listening and video devices in our houses. And then we have Alexa, who is the brain of this whole operation.
She is.
And the minute you tie her into all this stuff.
And Siri.
And you got Siri. Right.
Siri.
And run your ass off a cliff if you're not looking in the directions right.
Siri, hello.
And that's the other the update coming from Apple. Do you see what you just did there? See, with Alexa, you didn't have to do that. You just call her name and she comes
right.
on. Yes. Siri, you got to press the button to start the phone.
You got to press the button, but Alexa, you can turn it off, but it's always listening.
Listening. You hear that?
I was talking to my friend the other day, and he's like, so is it always on? And I'm like, well, if you want to use it the way it's designed to be used, it's always on.
Right.
Right? So you can just say, hey... And we don't have Alexa up here this evening. Many times we have her as our third. And she's becoming ingrained in our life.
Right.
We use her as a shopping list. She manages our calendar. She does several things.
So now, Apple is updating where you don't have to touch the phone. Your voice can start Siri without that.
We're dumped.
So now you have the makings of an electronic civil war between Alexa and Siri and their minions, right? So... Whoever gets control of the thermostat
is pretty much
going to control the world. So if you have a Nest, rip it out, people.
People.
Rip it out. Go back to the little slide with the red and the
blue.
We've
been telling you for 118 yep. episodes.
And you keep plugging this shit into your houses.
Well, I do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're one of the people. We're going to be doing a podcast. The next time we say something on this, we're going to be killed.
I don't even want to get up in the morning. I just want to tell electronics.
I just want to be assimilated into the... He wants to be in the Borg. Huffside's going to resist.
Oh, shit. How much fun is this? Well, the upside is, Francis, I mean, I'm in my 50s. I think you're in your 40s.
Late 40s.
Late 40s. I mean, you know,
How much time we got left?
How much time we got left? Let's just have as much fun as we can.
If you assimilate me now, I can live forever, right? I mean,
my grandson, Jonah, the shit's going to suck. Yeah. But for us, I just want to be old enough to
Jonah
kiss somebody's
tit
in the old folks' home. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to be 60 so I can get away with grabbing young women.
That's right.
Jonah will be the next John Connor. You know, he'll be fighting the resistance against the machines.
Yes, he will be.
Turning down thermostats and such.
Probably bitching about Grandpa and if you should have took Alexa
in the house. Stop pissing in the corner, Grandpa!
You never should have taken Alexa in the house! All right, folks. We've had great fun. It was great fun tonight doing our podcast on a Friday. We'll put this out on a Saturday. Please listen. Please share this with your friends. It's just about having a lot of fun and talking about shit that's interesting to us. And we hope it's interesting to you.
We try to speak about it in a manner that may make it interesting to you, but ultimately we don't care.
So we'll be back next week with UFUF 119. Stay in your lane. Jonah, please.
Good night. Good night. Miss you.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.